Shalom, shalom, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of The Pulse of Israel here, our eternal and ancestral homeland, the land of Israel, in our beautiful, ancestral, biblical, and indigenous capital, Jerusalem, since King David's time. Indivisible capital since King David's time. All right, it's so important. Not everyone knows the truth about Jerusalem. All right, here we go. This is a really, really deep episode today, and it's really important, and I want to be able to quote some important facts here for everyone to hear to understand how serious a situation we are dealing with right now in Israel. All right? Because again, like I titled this video today, the Biden administration's war against Israel. Yes, it is that serious. And believe it or not, it's not even my title. This is the title of a recent Caroline Glick article, and she titled it The Biden Administration's War Against the Government of Israel. But this is really, really serious. On the one hand, I'm going to be giving you information from Caroline Glick's article, but there's much more than that. Caroline Glick refers to the basically the Biden administration's plan, subversion plan against the Israeli government to basically try to topple Netanyahu's government from the inside via working with leaders in Israel and the protest riot leaders in Israel. So we're going to get into that. But after that, it's even worse because we're going to get into information that a former Labor Party leader, right? He's from the political left. And we're talking about Chaim Ramon, who also happens to be a former justice minister. So he used to be a competitor to Bibi Netanyahu, and he's from the political left. And even he is today exposing information regarding the absolute, if I'd be nice, I'd say blindness, but I'm going to be politically incorrect and say absolute corruption within Israel's IDF senior command, which you could say might be working hand in hand with the Biden administration. But two instances, recent instances, just today and 2 days ago, of this former Labor Party leader and former justice minister for the Labor Party from the political left exposing to really, really bad things about the senior IDF command and acting like a subversive force within Israel, not working together with the Israeli government to properly fight this war. So we'll get into that, all right? So those are two aspects. One is the Biden administration's actual involvement in trying to topple the Netanyahu government during this war and stop us from winning this war. And two, the issues about Israel's senior IDF and security establishment. So Caroline Glick in her article brings a protest leader named Ami Dror, who had a WhatsApp group, a quote from one of his WhatsApp groups with his colleagues in the protest movement. And it was then reported upon by Channel 14 after the information was authenticated. And basically, Dror, in this WhatsApp group with the protest leaders, explained the White House's plan to overthrow the Netanyahu government. How does he know this? Well, Dror tells and continuously tells his protest leaders that he is in touch. He is in touch, literally in touch, with people who work in the White House, basically insinuating that people who are talking for President Biden and his administration are in touch with him and maybe others within the Israeli anti-Netanyahu movement, and specifically him as a protest leader, regarding the toppling of the Netanyahu government in the middle of the war. And he explains that the Biden administration's plan includes a couple of components. One, it's about the actions on the ground in Gaza, which has to do with the whole humanitarian aid issue, which we all know the aid goes to Hamas. A majority of it's taken by Hamas. The videos are out there showing Hamas terrorists literally taking the aid trucks to feed themselves and keep fighting us another day and hold on to our captives another day to abuse and torture them. So that's one aspect of the Biden administration's plan. The second aspect is the use of the UN Security Council, which, again, that's already, we've seen how the United States has tried to put up, pass a resolution where basically it totally disconnects the captive issue of freeing our captives from enforcing a ceasefire. So it was basically an anti-Israel resolution to stop us from fighting. So that's on the United Nations Security Council front. And in addition, he says their plan includes, again, this is the Biden administration's plan of extorting Israeli government ministers. And then on top of all that is their involvement. This is the Biden administration's plan, again, according to this Amid Dror, this protest leader, to support a mass civil protest movement on the streets of Israel. This is all a plan that's being worked on for months by the Biden administration to topple the Netanyahu government. So he explains, and I'm quoting him, and this is, again, was quoted by Caroline Glick in her article. The American plan, as I published in a March 6th post, I guess, remains unchanged. The day after my publication, the Biden administration announced the establishment of an American port in Gaza that will seize from Israel the ability to rule the strip. The port will be used initially to provide food, but the central purpose of the port is to rebuild Gaza. All right, so what does Amid Dror tell us from this and the messages he is telling us he's getting from the Biden administration? That the port is about Gaza, taking control of Gaza away from Israel. And it's not just about bringing humanitarian aid, which we know allows Hamas to survive another day, but it's about the rebuilding of Gaza. For who? For Hamas. And for all we know, the whole population of Gaza are Hamas. They all support Hamas. They took part in the actual massacre on October 7th. They cheered in the streets as Hamas took our captives, whether alive or dead, marching them, driving them through the streets of Gaza. They were cheering. The population of Gaza is Hamas. That's clear. And the Biden administration wants to rebuild it basically for all of them, so they remain living there and be continually able to terrorize Israel and Jews in Israel. That's the Biden administration plan. All right? And then he says even further, again, this is Amid Dror, that the U.S. campaign for humanitarian aid is twofold. It undermines the control of the IDF in Gaza, and they use it to blackmail Israeli government ministers with the threat that they will be accused of war crimes if they don't go along with the U.S. plan to rebuild, to build a port in Gaza and allow them to take over control of Gaza from Israel. Did you just understand that? According to Amid Dror, the U.S. government is basically blackmailing Israeli ministers to go along with their plans. So how are they doing this? So Caroline's writing that the U.S. and the EU are constantly talking about a famine in Gaza. That's the talking points today, right? Go into the news, they're talking about a famine in Gaza, that we're doing a genocide by a famine, we're starving, all the children are starving, they're dying of starvation in Gaza. Why? They're creating this fake news about a starvation and a famine in Gaza in order to blackmail Israeli ministers, because they're going to say if Israel does not allow in the aid and does not allow the United States to build a port, they will take Israeli government ministers to international court for war crimes, for the famine, that we're starving them, that it's genocide. Okay, this is Amid Dror telling his protest leaders what the Biden administration's plan is about Israel, that he's telling him to work together with them to topple the Netanyahu government. So this is insane. Again, if this is all true, and again, this has been reported upon by Channel 14 after they authenticated it, Caroline Glick's writing about it, it seems very, very bad and scary. All right? And then we go even further. So why the protests in the street? Oh, so Dror writes that the Biden administration's original plan was to have Benny Gantz, their man in the Israeli government, right? At the beginning of the war, Netanyahu included Benny Gantz in the government in order to create a national unity government, because Benny Gantz is from the left, from the center left. So there was a lot of pressure to have him included in the war cabinet. That basically gives Netanyahu the facade that it's not the facade, it's true that the whole Israeli people is behind the government fighting this war, that it wouldn't just be a right-wing government, but that Benny Gantz really was Biden's man in the government, right? So again, and who's Gantz? Gantz is sitting as a minister of war in the cabinet, of the war cabinet, and he also happens to be Netanyahu's chief political rival. So the Biden administration had him there to be their inside man to get what they want done in the war, and also to be able to topple the government from the inside. So here's the kicker. Amit Dror says that Gantz lost their confidence, all right? He writes, and again, quoted by Caroline Glick, that Gantz was summoned to the United States for a reprimand. He was humiliated, all right? The Biden administration humiliated him when he was there sitting in the office with them. The Americans said hair-raising things to him. That at the start of the war, the Americans demanded that he join the government. He is their man. The man who would ensure that Netanyahu and Ben-Gvir wouldn't set the world on fire by going to war to defend ourselves, right? So he was brought into the cabinet to block the war in Lebanon, and he promised that he was going in for 6 weeks, and then he and the protest groups would take the government apart. After 6 weeks, he and some other government ministers, who he's naming Aryeh Deri from the Shas party, promised by January 1st they would deliver the goods and topple the government. But in practice, they failed, okay? And when he didn't deliver the goods for the U.S. by toppling the government, the Biden administration understood they couldn't trust Gantz anymore. And that's why they humiliated him in that meeting that they called him into America. And I guess also giving him marching orders to continue if he'd be able to. But according to Dror, he failed them because he didn't topple the government yet. So once Gantz didn't topple the government, then the Biden administration moved to rely on the mass riots in the streets, the anarchy in the streets, okay? And that's what we're witnessing now for the past week. That's what's been in the media. And even they're trying to fly over the prime minister's house and plans to burn down his house. I've talked about this before in other episodes. And the other night, Saturday night, Motzei Shabbat in Jerusalem, they were trying to get to his house in Jerusalem. So the mass protests, again, according to this protest leader, is very much coordinated with the Biden administration. They want it to happen in order to topple the government. Now, like I also keep on telling you, the people of Israel are behind the government to fight this war. 100%. The people of Israel want total victory. And they're not with this protest movement. They're not going into the streets. Even all the people who went to the streets against the judicial reform movement, it's all the same groups, right? Anyone who understands Israel and Israeli politics, the groups leading the protests today are the same ones who were in the streets protesting against judicial reform. They were the same ones protesting against Netanyahu's legal cases, which they were all coming out as being fabricated. And that's why you don't hear about them in the news anymore, because they're all coming apart. They were basically all put together by the justice system and the deep state in Israel that wants to get rid of Netanyahu to bring him down using the law. They're all coming apart. So these are the same groups of people, same leaders who were out in the streets protesting there. The same groups were out in the streets protesting when Netanyahu was prime minister to get rid of him, the economic issue. It's the same thing. It has nothing to do with the issues. It's all about taking down and toppling Netanyahu and right-wing governments whenever Netanyahu's in power. That's it. How do we know that these protest movements aren't working right now? Like, don't just trust me. Well, listen to this protest leader. He's crying out to the people. Where are you? Come to the protests. Right? Just listen to that video. So they're saying it themselves, that people aren't coming. So even though the news, because they're in cahoots with the political left to topple Netanyahu and topple this government in the middle of a war, the media is playing it as if, oh my God, it's so many people and they're going to take down the government and the people is against, the people are against the government. And that's the message the Biden administration wants to happen, right? They want to show that the people of Israel are against the government. They want to cause a split. at least in the public consciousness of the world, because then that would allow the Biden administration to do whatever shenanigans it does to force a change in Israel's government, whatever, right? And again, you can go back to the lines, and I did videos on this, about President Biden, Vice President Harris, Chuck Schumer, on the Senate floor. They were all pushing how the government doesn't represent the people. So they need the mass protests in the street to prove via the media all over the world that the Israeli government doesn't represent the people. But the government does represent the people, regardless of all the anger about how things happened on October 7th and where the leadership failed and where the army failed. Put that aside. That's a different issue. Right now, we, the people of Israel, want to win this war as quickly as possible in order that everyone can go back to their homes down south and up north, want the captives to be freed as quickly as possible, and they know it can only be done by war. The people of Israel are behind this government fighting this war, and the protest movement is failing. They don't have the people in the streets. It looks like there are a lot of people in the streets because they know how to use cameras to make it look like a lot of people for the media, but the Biden administration of using these protests to topple the government is also failing. All right, so that's all from Caroline Glick's article, and based upon this protest leader who says that has contacts in the White House and the Biden administration, who are basically working with him and Gantz and possibly, most probably, Ehud Barak, because Ehud Barak's behind this whole thing also, and they have all the money, whether all the money is coming from Israeli CEOs and rich people, or it's also coming from slush funds from the CIA or the State Department and doing their color revolution here, just like they do color revolutions around the world. Don't know. I don't have the information to actually back that up to show that it's actually true or not, but it's definitely plausible. And definitely Ehud Barak is behind it. He's been talking about toppling the Netanyahu government even before the war, when it was the judicial reform. And for years, even before the judicial reform, he was talking about of people dying in the streets and him coming back as prime minister and toppling Netanyahu before the war, before the judicial reform, just to show you again the proof that this is something that is about getting rid of Netanyahu and a right-wing government and nothing to do with whatever the social justice flavor issue cause of the week is for them to cause protests. But that's the challenge from the Biden administration. Now let's move on to the challenge with our defense establishment. So like I told you before at the beginning of the video, I'm about to share with you two pieces of information exposed by a former Labor Party leader, again, meaning he is no Netanyahu fan, and I'm referring to former Justice Minister and Labor Party leader Chaim Ramon. Now, just so you know, Chaim Ramon also, when he was Justice Minister, he dared push for judicial reform. Even though he was from the left, he knew judicial reform was needed. And that's why they got rid of him. All right? While he was Justice Minister, they cooked up some case because he kissed somebody, and then they got rid of him, shamed him, got rid of him, and then the judicial reform that he, a leader from the labor left, was pushing for judicial reform. So that's what the deep state does if you go up to try to change the basically judicial dictatorship that allows the deep state to run Israel and neuter our politicians and our governments from pushing in policy that they're voted in to do. In any case, what are the two pieces of information that Chaim Ramon basically tweeted or X'd about recently on his X account? Number one, here, ready for this? I'm quoting him. I recently learned that Prime Minister Netanyahu asked the Israel Defense Forces and the coordination unit in Judea and Samaria to review the establishment of an Israeli military government in the Gaza Strip after the failure of all attempts to find local Arab Gaza forces or even foreign forces to control the distribution of humanitarian aid in Gaza. But Israel's Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, who again, he came from the defense establishment, he was supposed to be one of the senior IDF command years ago, but they shot him down because he wasn't left enough. But now we see how he's working together with the security establishment and the requests of the Biden administration. In any case, Yoav Gallant, defense minister, together with the full backing of the chief of staff, imposed a complete veto on Netanyahu's plan to have an IDF force in charge in Gaza, meaning to take care of citizen issues, of civilian issues. So Netanyahu, because he had the veto from the security establishment and the senior echelon of the army folded and withdrew his request. And again, and this is quoting Chaim Ramon, once again, the short-sighted stubbornness of the defense minister, and obviously the senior commander of the IDF, places Israel in front of a broken trough in regards to the collapse of Hamas's civilian rule in the Gaza Strip. Meaning, we have to have a solution. And we're the solution. Israel's the solution. We can't trust any Arab local forces. Hamas, we can't trust. Palestinian Authority, they're just as bad as Hamas. They're the same as Hamas. They also support the killing of Jews. They also support terrorists and terror. And they're training in order to fight us and kill us in Judea and Samaria and all of Israel. Can't trust Palestinian Authority. Can't trust foreign forces. Who's the only force to go into Gaza and take care of things? Israel, we must remain there forever. That's why I keep on telling you the only solution for Gaza is Israeli military remains there forever. We allow all Arabs who want good lives to leave, especially if they support killing Jews and destroying the state of Israel, and we reestablish Jewish communities in Gaza. That's the only solution, only just, moral, realistic solution to ensure there is no more terror from the Gaza Strip endangering Israel. All right, so in any case, that is piece of information number one from Chaim Ramon from a few days ago, basically telling us straight out that the senior command of the defense establishment is working against the government, against the prime minister, and what he wants to do or thinks is the best to do. It's like the security establishment run the country as opposed to them taking orders from the government what to do. But here comes the second piece of information that he just put out today. Okay? This has to do with an appointment of a senior intelligence officer in the IDF. Right? Because one guy just had to resign because of a health issue. So they assigned a temporary to a senior intelligence position called Itai Baron. That's his name. So this is what Chaim Ramon says. The appointment of Brigadier General Itai Baron to the temporary intelligence chief position shows the chief of staff and the minister of defense learned nothing from the October 7th massacre and did not forget any of the dangerous illusions held by the IDF before the Hamas attack. And now Chaim Ramon goes right into it with the proof. During his tenure as a research major in the intelligence corps between 2011 and 2015, Brigadier General Baron, this guy that was just appointed to the senior intelligence position, he was the one who led the whole misguided perception of keeping Hamas in power. Right? Baron received... I'm just going through, it's a translation of the Hebrew, so I'm not going into that, okay? And so in a sense, he believed the Hamas had to be in power. That was his intelligence advice to the government. He didn't think, and he thought, he's one of those people that thought, well, as long as we allow money to go to them, as long as they have their economy, as long as they have jobs and they come into Israel, everything will be fine. October 7th proved he was 100% wrong. He's part of the problem. How is he getting assigned to this temporary position at the head of intelligence? This guy has no intelligence whatsoever. He didn't read intelligence. I don't know how well he knows Arabic, but he definitely is not taking into consideration all the Arabic communications that come out of Hamas and the Arab world showing exactly what the plans were. We know they had that the intelligence had the plans of the attack, and they didn't take it seriously, and they didn't prepare, and they didn't think it was going to happen. And based on his advice between 2011 and 2015, they still want to keep Hamas in power. How the heck did the security establishment put this guy back in a position of power? Right? And then it goes even further. Even after he was released from the IDF, he continued to push this perspective that Hamas has to be kept in power. And as Chaim Ramon says himself, continued to promote this damned conception to see Hamas as negotiable and to spread the illusion of a deterred Hamas, which basically helped blind the IDF and political ranks to the danger inherent in the Hamas devil in Gaza. Right? And then... All right, Baron himself, he's quoting Baron from 2019. Baron explained that Hamas has had 7 conflicts and wars. They probably realized that the public in Gaza would not turn against them if they stood aside. And then in 2020, or in a 2020 report, he wrote, Hamas does not wish for escalation, because he works for the INSS Institute. So he's doing this as part of intelligence research reports for the INSS Institute. They don't wish for escalation and recommended to the political level to mark Hamas as a temporary responsible address in the Gaza Strip to achieve a prolonged ceasefire with it and in exchange for extensive economic relief. There we go. Okay? And then in 2021, during the Guardian of Walls IDF operation in Gaza, Barone estimated that the deterrence of Hamas has been achieved. So here we go. This is Chaim Ramon, a former leader of the Labor Party, of the political left, calling out the blindness, not of the security establishment pre-October 7th, but of their blindness today to continue to hire senior people for positions who are directly responsible for failing to stop the massacre on October 7th. He goes on, in April 2023, in an extensive interview with Haaretz newspaper, Barone explained that for the old problems of the intelligence, biases of perceptions of various kinds, the failure of imagination, sticking to a concept, we have found solutions. He's basically going against everything about it. He's saying he's for other opinions, and yes, he is against all other opinions because he kept on pushing for years the opinion that Hamas is deterred and we have to work with Hamas. All right? So not, and again, Chaim Ramon's words, in reality, the intelligence, the chief of staff, and the minister of defense not only insist on sticking to the concept that led to the October 7th disaster, but they are determined to continue appointing people who are consistently and resolutely wrong, who hold only one opinion, who are impervious to any different opinion, and who will lead us to more disasters in the future. The public should demand that everyone who is part of the concept at the political level, the military level, and the public level, meaning thinking that Hamas is deterred and only having a good economy would be fine, should refrain from engaging in public affairs for the foreseeable future, and certainly that the leaders of the concept should not be appointed to important positions such as research sergeant, right? So this is, again, Chaim Ramon from the political left calling out how the IDF security establishment has not learned its lesson, or that's an interpretation, not learned this lesson. The question is why? Why is it continuing with its failed understanding of our enemies and our enemies' intentions, and misreading, ignoring the intelligence? The intelligence is clear. Hamas wants to destroy Israel. Hamas's charter states that it wants to kill Jews all over the world. How can you have someone in the position of intelligence who ignores the ideology beyond Hamas, that ignores the Palestinian Authority Charter, which is also the salami approach to destroy Israel? How do these people consider themselves intelligent, to be part of intelligence? How do these people have positions, senior IDF command? And now I'm going to come up with the last point that shows that potentially a corruption of the senior command in Israel has to do because they are not necessarily looking out for the interests of Israel, but they are heavily influenced by the security establishment of the United States of America. Case in point, just the other day, it was announced that Israel would be buying, 35 billion shekels worth of planes, F-35s and F-15s, from America. All right, on one hand, wonderful, we're getting these planes. Besides the fact, Americans should know, Israeli technology is so advanced, and we help build those planes. There is so much Israeli technology in F-35s, F-15s, in so many of America's planes and Air Force, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like, when Americans complain, like, oh my God, we're giving Israel all this financial aid. America, do you know how much you're getting in return for the financial aid? It's not that we need your financial aid and we're beggars. No, we're giving you value. Every dollar America gives to Israel, you are getting in value of technology, of intelligence, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Like Alexander Haig, former Secretary of State in the 1980s, once said that Israel is like an Air Force, U.S. Air Force carrier in the Middle East, where they get so much value without having to put an American boot on the ground. All right? So just so you understand, that's a little caveat. But it was announced that 35 billion shekel worth of purchases of these planes. So Israel's finance minister basically said, wait a second, we didn't approve this. Let's look over the deal. Let's see if this makes sense. We haven't had an assessment of Israel's security needs post October 7th, because Obviously, the security establishment failed in understanding Israel's security risks, and it wasn't ready. The Israeli security assessment for decades has been small army, rely on technology. We're never going to have a war in enemy territory ever again. So they cut units, they cut tanks, they cut resources. And they invested in technology and in planes. It didn't help. October 7th happened. Over 1,200 innocent Israelis were massacred in their homes. So you want to go through with another major arms deal with America? Fine. But let's have a reassessment of the risks to our security to really come up with a plan of what we need to buy to protect Israel and protect Israeli citizens. And the security establishment, including the defense minister, they went ballistic. They're like, no, we decided this. You're going against Israel. How can the Minister of Finance be going against Israel by requesting a proper assessment of security needs before deciding to spend 35 billion shekels, I think that's the amount, on arms? I mean, I've seen some people say, wait a second, we have to fight over 150,000 long-range missiles of Iran in Lebanon via Hezbollah. Iran has long-range missiles. Maybe we should be spending some of that money to buy long-range missiles. Like, why buying all these planes? Maybe some planes are necessary. Maybe many of them. Maybe only some of them. Maybe more F-15s than F-35s. Maybe more F-35s. I don't know. But let's have an assessment. The finance minister is asking for an assessment, a professional assessment, to then come up with the right decision of what that money should be spent on purchasing to protect Israel. And the defense establishment, the senior higher command of the IDF and the defense minister, they don't want an assessment. They want to be given a blank check to tell the people of Israel, this is what we need. After the people of Israel no longer trust them because they ignored all the intelligence and they shut down our army to be a small army, not prepared for October 7th. So again, how much are our senior intelligence leaders making their decisions, and senior IDF leaders making their decisions because they're seriously thinking about what's best for Israel, or because they know after they finish their IDF career, they go on for careers in U.S. think tanks or U.S. Connected companies, military companies, munition companies, lobbying. Don't know. It's definitely plausible. And also, their continued careers could be very much connected to how much they follow what the Biden administration and the U.S. foreign policy establishment tells them to do. That they're not necessarily listening to what the needs of the Israeli people, but they're thinking, I must listen to what America tells me and what the Biden administration tells me, more than what really needs to be done to protect Israel and Israeli citizens. Now, this all sounds so scary, okay? Because here I'm talking to you about the Biden administration literally, allegedly involved in toppling the Netanyahu government using a multifaceted plan. And then how we can't even trust our senior IDF intelligence leaders because they're basically just promoting all the people who led to the failure of October 7th. With that, I'm going to tell you, like I always tell you, do not be dismayed. Do not be depressed. We are going through a process where we are taking back our trust of human leaders. And again, all these human leaders, they're basically all just followers. Even the ones we elect, they're all just followers. They're supposed to follow what we tell them to do. They're not leaders. If we had leaders today, if you had leaders in America, Israel, France, England, the progressive movement would be gone. The growth of radical Islam in the Western world would be gone, right? That's if we really had leaders in our countries. Because if you want to protect your citizens, don't you think you should pay attention to what the imams are saying in mosques about destroying the Western countries you're living in? And raping or marrying the Western white women in order to conquer the countries via the womb, and cultural jihad, and financial jihad? Like, if you really had leaders in your countries, don't you think they'd be doing things to protect you, citizens? But they're not doing any of that stuff. They're not standing up to the progressive BS. They're not standing up to the Marxist, Islamist threat in all of our countries. Because they're not leaders. They're followers. They're followers, whoever, they're following orders, whoever's telling them to give orders or whoever's giving them money or whatever other interests. It's not you, the citizen. So this is a process we are all going through all over the world. Here it's very acute in Israel post October 7th. And it's a good process because at the end of the day, you see a strengthening of the identity of the Jewish people in Israel today that we have to trust ourselves and we have to trust God above. Now, here's the crazy thing, because I just saw this interview on CNN. CNN interviewed an Israeli reporter who's totally horrible, an anti-Israel reporter named Barak Ravid. And here I'm telling you, the good guys in the story is we have the people, and the people include our IDF fighters on the ground fighting the fight in Gaza. They're the ones risking their lives night and day, putting up the good fight, totally united to defeat Hamas and protect Israelis. Miracle after miracle they're experiencing down there. They are the future of the Jewish people. Please God, they should be the future of the IDF chief of staff, right? They're the ones who know and are motivated have not been jaded by other interests, as opposed to the senior military staff. And then we have Prime Minister Netanyahu and his government trying to do what's right and protect Israel and protect Israeli citizens. Who do we have in the middle? We have in the middle the senior IDF staff. Okay, they're the problem. The intelligence, the senior staff, they're the problem. So what is Barak Ravid saying on the CNN interview? He's basically saying, No. We have problems. He was using the case of the aid workers who were mistakenly killed in Gaza. I don't know who killed them. I don't know how they were killed. But you want to know something? I put my 110% support behind the IDF and IDF soldiers, because whoever is killed in Gaza, it's the responsibility of Hamas. You don't want to be killed in Gaza, whether you're a fighter, whether you're a civilian, whether you're an aid worker. Well, pressure Hamas to surrender and return our citizens immediately. Until then, any single person killed in Gaza is the responsibility of Hamas. Even if it happened by an IDF bullet or an IDF bomb, it's Hamas' responsibility, because Hamas uses civilians and aid workers and UNRWA is Hamas, as part of their war strategy to make us look bad. So Hamas is responsible. But Barak Ravid on CNN, right, was basically saying, oh my God, that shows you that there is a moral problem with the fighters on the ground in Gaza, and they're not listening to the moral code of ethics of the top echelon of the IDF. What's he trying to do? He's trying to paint the picture to the world that the top echelon are the good guys, and the IDF fighters on the ground are the bad guys. This is the low-level journalism. And he's an Israeli journalist, but works for international papers and Axios and whatever. Like, he writes for Haaretz, I think, or used to write for Haaretz. He's a bad journalist. A bad, bad journalist. And this is what he's saying. So he's again giving the message that it's the ones on the ground who are the problem. It's the top echelon of the IDF who are the good guys. So again, I don't want you to be dismayed. I don't want you to be depressed. We're going to come out of this. We're going to come out of this because we believe God above is running the show. The Jewish people are returning to our ancestral identity as proud Jews who are supposed to live in our ancestral homeland here in the Middle East. We're not Swedes. We're not French. We're not Americans. We're not Canadians. We're not Australians. We're not Indians. We're not Ethiopians. We are Jews. Jews from Judea, here in our ancestral homeland. Our culture is from here. We have to return to know how to live in the Middle East with our neighbors in the Middle East. Not acting like Americans, not acting like Swedes, not acting like French or the British, acting like Judean Jews in our ancestral homeland in the middle of the Middle East. That is the process the Jewish people are going through right now, today. And the backstabbing, both of the Biden administration, the Western governments, and the whole progressive world, it's been a wake-up for many Jews who have prided themselves on thinking that they were progressive and fighting all those fights and social justice causes, all of a sudden to realize, oh my God, they all hate us. All those partner organizations in the Western, enlightened, progressive, social justice world, they're showing their true colors. They hate Jews. They hate Jews in the name of Palestine, the fake invented cause. So it's bringing Jews to return to their Jewish identity. So it's a positive, positive process we're going through. And ultimately, many of those people, regardless of what religious level, are strengthening their belief in God. So it's us strengthening our identity as the Jewish people, strengthening belief in God above. That's the winning combination. Have faith. Have faith. We're going to come out of this much bigger and stronger than before, getting rid of all the rot and corruption and leaders within the Jewish people who are part of the problem and continue the problem and are not part of the solution. So hold on, folks. I'll give more messaging and connected to the Passover holiday that we're coming up to. But in the meantime, I think I've spoken enough. I've given you enough information to chew on. Things are going to be good. We're still going to have rough roads ahead. I mean, we might have a war with Iran any day, and Iran might do stuff against us any day or against Jews around the world any day. We're going to overcome it all. Hold on to your faith. Hold on to the process. We have a saying in Hebrew, Am HaNetzach Lo Mefached Miderech Arukah. The eternal people is not afraid of the long journey ahead. Hold on to that. We're getting closer and closer to the end, but it's still a long journey with bumps on the road. We are the eternal people, the Jewish people. Hold on to your faith. We're going to make it through this bumpy ride. Signing off for another episode of The Pulse of Israel in our eternal and ancestral homeland, the land of Israel, in our beautiful, biblical, indivisible capital, Jerusalem, since King David's time. If you are not yet a subscriber to Pulse of Israel, go to pulseofisrael.com and click to subscribe for the inspiring, politically incorrect truth that you hardly hear anywhere else. And if you like these programs and you want to help us get this information out to more people, go to pulseofisrael.com and click on the donate button every once in a while. Shalom, everyone. Thanks for watching.
Pulse of Israel, frontline videos from the Holy Land. Support our work by donating today.